Steam locomotives were some of the most powerful machines ever built. They pulled trains that fueled our imagination. They represented vision, collaboration, ingenuity, customer service, and extraordinary human achievement. But in order to get to their destination, it took someone guiding them through a series of switches in order to get to the main line. Just like leaders today, it takes someone directing them down the right path in order to get to their destination. Welcome to Mainline Executive Coaching ACT, which stands for and Cultural Transformation, hosted by Master Certified Intelligent Leadership Executive Coaches Michael Bailey and Rich Barron. With over 50 years of successful cultural transformation and quantum leadership development between them. Once again, thanks for joining us and enjoy today's show.
Here we go again, Mainline Executive Coaching, ACT, Rich Barron, my partner. I'm Michael Bailey. We're here to talk about leadership. And I want to kind of start this out with leaders. We know there are many great leaders out there, fine leaders, committed leaders. Yes. Doing great things in their organization, with their people, just tremendously talented, great charactered people. We know this. This one is not about you.
No.
You're thinking, what are they talking about?
We want you to keep listening.
Yeah, keep listening anyway, because you may know some of these people that we'll be talking about. So today we're talking about leadership. Is your leadership, your group leadership, your C-level, team level, whatever it may be, is it real leadership or is it more like the Three Stooges? And what does that mean exactly? Let's start there. The Three Stooges. You've been doing a little bit of research into the Three Stooges. And there's aspects about the individuals, the actors who played the Three Stooges right. That were remarkable. But you can talk a little bit about that in terms of respect. And then let's talk about their on camera personas, the characters they play.
Individually and collectively, they were brilliant. They were all very accomplished musicians, very talented musicians. And when they worked together, if you watched their timing was just impeccable. They worked together well, and they fed off each other well. And here's the thing, coming back from the musicianship thing. Timing is an absolute critical element of being a musician. It truly is. And not only that, having a rapport with the people you work with and just knowing what's coming next, just with a blink of an eye or a look or whatever, you know what's coming next. And you can just kind of seamlessly flow through things. Done that a lot of times simply because of the people you're working with. You've worked with them for so much time. You've rehearsed with them. You know their abilities. And so they were all phenomenal musicians, phenomenal comedians. Their personal lives, they all had, struggles in their personal lives. And we've heard a lot about this. People who fame and fortune or whatever struggle with certain things. Even a stroke at an early age for one of them. But beyond that, what their characters were and who they were in real life are two different things. So let's talk about their characters. The characters they played, Michael, you kind of were going off on that a little bit.
Yeah, this controlled chaos that they were very good at. Yeah. Oftentimes, comedy is controlled chaos. The Marx Brothers, controlled chaos. Brilliant people, brilliant timing, brilliant comedians. Well, this is this kind of the fumbling and blaming and finger pointing that they did was just remarkable. How they can move from hitting, slapping, poking the eyes out, kicking somebody in the chin, slapping them, doing this, doing that, just bum, 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 and all the sounds that went with it. They were remarkable in their timing, and we couldn't believe how fast they could do things. The whole point of it was I want to be in control, but I don't want to be blamed. I want to make sure that I escape any kind of responsibility whatsoever. And if the whole thing goes and falls apart, then you are the problem, not me, and I've escaped it all. Some leadership is like that, the poking, the hitting, the slapping, the kicking, they may not do it actually, but the finger pointing, the blaming, the escaping responsibility, and all you hear, all these wood blocks and tambourines and symbols and all that kind of stuff.
The double eye poke.
Yeah. Yep. Right there. I mean, that was it's remarkable. They never poked each other actually in the eye. That's how good and fast they were. So is leadership like that? Is there really somebody or a group of people who are willing to take true responsibility in the organization, or is it the Three Stooges? Just whatever it takes so that I don't get responsible. I don't, I'm held responsible, whatever it is, so that I don't get the blame, but I can blame somebody else. Is that what's going on in your organization? And there, and we talk to people, and that really does go on.
Absolutely, the blame game. The blame game is horrific. The drama, all this drama that is being played out with the blame game, and you know, pointing, and it may not physically be happening where people are poking each other in the eye and slapping each other, whatever, but it's still. It's not me. It's you. Why did you do this? It's your fault. You know, how come you didn't accomplish this? Why didn't you understand what I told you? It's not me. It's never me. I'm blameless. It's you.
Exactly right. That's exactly right. So we wanted to compare that, this idea of this clownish buffoonery that goes on with the Three Stooges. And it's like the boss that comes in every day. I got a new idea. We got to do it this way. We got to do it that way. And you're jerking people around so much that they can't tell which way is up or down. I mean, they're starting to get neck strain, have to go see a chiropractor. There are those bosses that do that. Now, let's talk about a couple of things. You showed me a clip today about Michael Jordan.
Yes.
I thought this was brilliant insight. Talk about Michael Jordan and what he was talking about on this little clip.
This great Michael Jordan has some really good insight into where he was when he first started as a professional basketball player. They had to make their way. They had to prove themselves. Once they made it to a certain level, they weren't done yet. They had to prove themselves. They earned everything they got. They started at lower salaries, whatever, lower contracts, and had to earn, you know, their way into more money, more contact, more contracts. But he says now, and his concern now is a lot of these young people coming in, they get it all from the very beginning, $5 million contracts, whatever that entails, five-year contracts too, with all the money. And here's the thing is they don't even know what they've bought yet, but they've bought this for 5 years. And they're just going off past performance.
In
past
college.
Performance.
Yeah. College. So not pro.
But and if you listen to what the pros say, like Michael Jordan and a few of these guys, there's a marked difference between the college level, high school to college, college to the pros. It's different. It's like you're graduating college. Now you're going into business. Now you're actually going into business, and you got to learn the ins and outs of what that business pertains. And just like Michael said, we had to earn our way, but now it's not that way. You know, you got these contracts for people. You have no clue how they're going to perform.
Yeah, it's very true. It's like the NFL. I think it's the attrition rate in the NFL, because it is such a brutal sport.
Yes.
It is just a pounding sport. The attrition rate is horrible. You know, many of those players that come in that first year out of college, it's 12 months to 17, 18 months, they're gone. They just couldn't make it. They just didn't have that level of strength and stamina on their ability to take that kind of punishment on the gridiron. So it's a different thing. So when you go into it and you're rewarding it at the front end, you're going to create a clown act.
Yes, you are.
Because the people don't have the skills, the experience, the judgment that those who have been playing the game for 5, 10, maybe even longer years, really they have. Because they, again, they earned it. It's like, you know, musicians, you earn it there in the small bars and pubs and the small venues. Then when you go out there and you're playing at the big audience, big coliseums, you know how it works, because you paid the price, right?
Yes.
Then there was another one we want to talk about, Wyatt Earp. There was a Wyatt little Earp. Dramatization. It was biographically done in terms of an actor did it, but it was written by Wyatt Earp or transposed by Triangle.
Yeah, it was an actual, I think it was an actual speech that he gave in front of an audience later in his life.
There you go. And let's talk about that. It was remarkable as he talked about the profession of being a gunslinger.
Yes.
What about that?
Very interesting. If you ever get a chance to look it up on YouTube, look it up. Wyatt Earp talks about gunfights. And at the very first, he even mentions, you know, I don't know why you've asked me. I'm not a speaker, but this is, you know, what starts talking about how gunfighting really was back in the old days. And he really portrays these trick shooters as, you know, just that, trick shooters. But when it came down to the real deal, what these gunfighters really did, like, you know, Bat Masterson and Wyatt Earp and Bill Hickok and stuff like that, none of that took place. There was none of this fancy gunslinging. It was all serious business. It was, we knew our profession. We knew our weapons. We knew we wore them a certain way that worked best for us. You know, even go how to cock the hammer, you know, using your full thumb joint to cock that hammer so your finger didn't slip off it. And it was methodical. It was thought through. He said they took their time, although quickly, and it was one shot and done.
Yeah.
One shot and done. And he said the ones that were fancy, the ones that, you know, thought they could fake it till you make it, never made it.
Look at that one movie with Wyatt Earp, where the Ringo, the character that plays Ringo, doing all these turns and fancy.
Oh, yeah.
That's the guy. That's not that guy.
No.
You know, I mean, this is a deadly business. Yes. It was a cold business. And yet when you take a look at it, you talk about it's kind of a scientific approach, I think. It's the whole OODA thing. It's the sense of, you know, observe it. Yeah. And that's what the slow is. Observe how they are behaving. Look at the way they're walking. Look at their stance. The guy who came up with this, he actually came out of World War II at the end of it and then went into the Korean conflict. And he said, when you go in this OODA, O-O-D-A, observe, orient, decide, and then act.
Yeah.
What you're doing in that first part is the slow part. You're looking at everything that you can figure out about this particular individual, watching it. And the big thing is take in education, take in nationality, ethnicity, take in everything you possibly can to understand that. And just observe what that is. Then watch and see what they do. Again, that scientific, what are they doing here? What are they doing there? What are they doing there? So that you can see the patterns. Then you decide what you're going to do, and then you act. And the whole point was that as you move through that process, that you got to your act before they got to their act.
Yes.
In fact, if you can get to your act before they even got to their decide, you're going to be a better off coming out of it. Then once you go and you do that, then you step back and you go back through the whole process again. Observe, orient, decide, act. That was the point of it. So what does this have to do with Wyatt Earp, Michael Jordan, and the Three Stooges?
Yeah.
What does it have to do with leadership?
That's a great question. It's like a bridge, a suspension bridge, a piano, and a gorilla. I don't know, because they're all different. Three Stooges, Michael Jordan, Wyatt Earp. What we're coming down to is leadership is intentional. It takes time. It takes time to build your skills and your actions and your decisions have to be intentional. Not only that, you have to take responsibility for what you did. Just like, and Wyatt Earp even talked about that. You take responsibility for who you are. The fact that the second you pull that gun out, it is you. It is all you. Same thing with leadership and the decisions you make. You need to have enough character and courage and the wherewithal and the patience and the durability. I don't know how many other words we can add in here to get to that leadership position. It's not about blaming someone else when things go wrong. If you're the leader and you're heading a team up, if things go south, you're not poking them in the eyes and slapping their face and blaming them for things that you have to take the blame for. You have to step up and say, this is my team. I'm here to help them. We're going to fix this. I'm in charge.
Part of that whole thing that the confusion, I think that folks struggle with is, and we've talked about this sense of versatility, this ability to be agile in leadership.
Yep.
Oftentimes people don't realize, and the Three Stooges were a perfect example of that.
Yeah.
This is what Jordan was talking about. You got to know it. Same thing with professionalism, yeah, that whole Wyatt Earp thing. You've got to know who you are, who yes, you are dealing with. And based upon that, you make then the decisions. The whole thing that we're talking about here is if you're a leader and you don't know that you are driving, let's say, a 16 kind of gear transmission truck, okay, yep, 16 gears in your transmission. You don't know that, but you only know one or two, if that at best, then you're never going to go anywhere.
No.
You have to know what all these different gears do and when to use them, when to put them in, when to pull out of them. And that's the versatility of that. That's what Wyatt Earp was talking about. That's what Jordan was talking about. You yes, got to know the tools. You got to know the timing. You got to know the techniques. You got to know who it is that you are in order to be successful. And if you do not, you will automatically default to the Three Stooges.
Yes.
You can't help it.
You can't help it because you don't want to take the blame yourself, right? Wasn't me. Wasn't me. Why in the world would you do that? You know, there's a good analogy that I've talked about, Michael, and that's about baseball. I yes, love baseball. That plate is 17 inches wide. Home plate is 17 inches wide. It's 17 inches wide from the time they start T-ball, Little League, all the way up through the majors. The one thing that does not really change is in baseball, even the balls change. Grips on them change. Seams on them change. Yes. The bats change. The length of the field changes. The distance between the pitcher and the catcher changes. All that changes except right, home plate, 17 inches wide. And you know what? When you get in the majors, although we see some umpires that you make some bad calls every once in a while, but still, as a pitcher and a batter, you've got 17 inches to work with. You've got 17 inches that you have to throw a ball over from 60 feet, 6 inches. There's no widening the plate. Just because maybe you didn't get a practice this week, you don't go up to the ump and say, hey, can you extend that you know, plate out 3 or 4 inches on either side for me? And I just didn't get the chance this week to practice. You know, I need a break. It doesn't work that way. You don't widen the plate. There is no widening the plate. There shouldn't be any widening the plate in leadership. There shouldn't be any widening the plate in our lives. None of this. We have to work within a certain platform, a certain area. And same thing with leadership. You don't widen the plate by blaming others in your team. You don't widen the plate by not taking blame for poor decisions, wrecking your organization, not promoting the right people. You simply don't. It's a matter of courage. It's a matter of grit. Matter of just being. Well, what is it, Michael?
Being honest.
Being
honest with yourself. Being honest with other people. The reason, generally speaking, and there are those umpires or the referees out there, you just kind of wonder where they're at. That when you're in front of a whole TV audience, you're in front of a Coliseum, and you're throwing that ball over that plate. That's what it is. Oftentimes, so the world sees it. The world knows what's going on. And when they see it, something called wrong, you know, they're upset, they're booing, and all that kind of stuff. In your office, though, leaders, you don't think people see what you're doing? You don't think that they notice what's happening? You don't think that they notice you're saying one thing and you're doing something else? You don't think that they notice that you're not stepping up as a leader, that you're not taking responsibility, that you're not protecting your team, you're not training your team, you're not helping your team to become their best at whatever level it is?
Yeah.
You don't think that's happening? If you don't think that's happening, you're kidding yourself.
Absolutely.
All eyes are on you, and they are watching, and they are taking notes. So you're really not getting away with anything, not at all. You may think that you're a Michael Jordan, when in fact you're just one of the Three Stooges. That's not bad in and of itself. Just to be clear about that.
Yes.
Notice you're a little Three Stoogey and you like to become more Michael Jordan, then it's time to get some help. Let's put it that way.
That's right.
We can help you. There's a lot of great people out there, and we can help you to step it up, to get to that champion level of playing. So
absolutely.
Who do you want to give a shout out to?
Who do we got new? I know that we talked about someone in Egypt last week. I know we got some folks in Romania that are listening.
I'm looking at, we've got some people there in Australia, Sydney, New South Wales.
Wow.
They're watching us. They're paying attention to us all the way over there in Australia. How nice. Thank you so much. Egypt, Romania, New South Wales.
Canada. Anywhere, yeah. Anywhere we got folks listening, thank you so much.
That's right.
Because here's the thing is, and the one thing about this is leadership is universal. It truly is. It's something that, you know, we know, everybody knows good leaders from bad leaders. There's no gray area. There might be charisma for a little while. You might fool some of the people, but you're not going to fool all of the people all the time. What's that saying?
Yeah.
Fool some of the people some all of the time. Yeah.
Yeah. But you can't fool all the people all the time.
There you go. That's it. Okay. So the point is, you can change, step up, and be the kind of leader the people around you need.
Yeah, they need you to be. They need you to be great. They need you to be on top of it. They need you to play at the best. They need you to be a real professional when it comes to being a leader. You know, even if you're doing pretty well, you might take a look at how you can sharpen that saw. Just get a little bit finer in what it is that you do. Sometimes it's just those incremental changes that make all the difference. Something that you just didn't quite see, or you didn't quite get, or you didn't quite understand, or something. All of a sudden, you just do that. It can be a tremendous rippling effect that just starts happening not only with you, but within your organization, because you just did that one thing. I've seen that happen again and again. Do that one thing, and everything else just starts falling a lot smoother.
Absolutely. Well, and again, we're at the end of another amazing episode of Mainline Executive Coaching.
It is amazing. It was amazing. I'd like to back that up. Yeah. Yes.
Yeah. So, and I'll tell you what, take care of each other. No eye poking. Don't slap each other. None of that stuff.
No pratfalls. Not this week. Absolutely. Please.
Yep. And until next time, be good and we'll see you again.
All right. Leaders, lead well.
With all of the issues facing leaders and organizations today, you need executive coaching more than ever. Go to our websites, richbarronexecutivecoaching.com or michaelbailey.com. You can also find us both on LinkedIn. Reach out to us and let's sit down and find out just how bright your future can be with executive coaching. We'd also like to thank all of our supporters in over 60 countries and 600 cities worldwide who have helped to make us one of the top executive coaching podcasts in the world. From Rich Barron and Michael Bailey, this is Mainline Executive Coaching ACT. Thank you and take care.